Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Everybody, welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net on the internet, American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, co-hosting with me today. I guess we have tri-host today. Ed Vitagliano is number two of three.
We'll be as trying as possible.
Is that good or bad?
That's usually bad.
Because trying is a bad word.
Yeah.
I think he's trying my nerves.
No, we're trying the audience, you know, our listeners.
Right, trying. Abraham Hamilton III, also known as Abe, is with us on Wednesdays. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing well, and we got a lot to talk about today. In the news, Fred Jackson, news director for OneNewsNow.com and American Family News, has got some stuff to tell us about. What's going on out there, Fred?
Actually, some breaking news right now. I think everybody's aware of this controversy that was created when we learned that some of the members of the National Guard in California, they were clawing back, the Pentagon clawing back some of the bonuses, the enlistment bonuses, and how terrible that was. And yesterday, President Barack Obama, this, we can't be nickel and diming our members, and the Republicans were upset about it. Well, Ash Carter, Defense Secretary Ash Carter, he's at a meeting of defense leaders in Brussels. So he announced this morning, and let's be very careful about this, has ordered the Pentagon to stop seeking repayments of these enlistment bonuses that were given to these National Guard members in California who served overseas. But folks, always read down through the story because the spin will be up front. You read down further through the story. He's not completely withdrawing the order. What he says further down in the story is we have to still be fair to the taxpayer because these bonuses, somebody made a mistake in giving these people the bonuses. So we're going to claw it back slowly. So we're going to do it gently, but they're still going to claw it back because he says we have to be fair to the taxpayers of this country. Now, my point in all of this would be you got 2,000 members of the California National Guard. The bonuses they receive can't be that much. A couple of $1,000s, maybe, you know, that's all.
Because all of them, did all of them get bonuses?
Yeah, to sign up. These were the people going overseas,
okay.
All right? A couple of $1,000s. We're not talking about a big amount of money. Compare that to the billions of taxpayers' dollars that are going right now for medical care for people in the country illegally. For education, for people who are in the country illegally. The Obama administration has no problem spending billions more on refugees coming in from Syria.
Right.
But the government is going to still claw back a couple of $1,000s each from these military personnel who probably are already suffering financially because they're not paid all that much. Mm. So put all that in context.
Who made the mistake there?
Apparently, a lower-level military person got confused on the regs and gave these people
the regulations.
The regulations.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah.
That's his fault, and they need to waive the clawback, wanting the money back. I hate that when that happens. That's happened to me before. It's probably happened to everybody listening. Somewhere, the bank says, oh, we made an error 2 years ago. We're going to have to – $4,000 is going to have to come out of your account. We're sorry about the mistake. And I'm just using that as a hypothetical, but that kind of thing has happened probably to all of us. And I'm going, wait a minute, that was your mistake, not mine. And now I have to. That money's spent.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's gone.
It's gone.
Gone.
I'm sure it's this way for the these families. Mm-hmm. They didn't think anything of it, and they thought it was theirs. Now you tell them it's not. Well, the money's already spent.
Well, you know good and well they didn't invest it in the stock market. I mean, these are people
right.
who
and
are
living month to month.
Yeah.
Month to month. Anyway, so the president President Obama could waive that if he wanted to. He has that authority.
I tell you,
might he yet?
Oh, yeah. But this is what got me from Ash Carter this morning, defense secretary. At the same time, it will respect our important obligation to the taxpayer. That's what really got me.
Yeah, like they really care about the taxpayer.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like we're fair taxpayer.
Oh, now I'm getting you guys' cynicism here. I'm following you now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I know where we can get it. We can get it right from the budgetary expenses for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Yes, $550 million.
Let's take money out of that and let's waive the clawback.
Yeah.
And by clawback, you mean it's a term that means the government's going to claw back the money that it gave these brave men and women who not only serve our country, but many of them, I'm guessing maybe all of them, went overseas to fight.
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. this is disgusting.
Yeah,
and
the fact that they still want to do it,
yep.
But this idea that we have to protect our taxpayers, please, please, you know, the American public's not going to buy that.
All right, so that's a story
now, we're working on.
Are you covering that? Do we have anything
on that?
It's
on One News Now right now.
OneNewsNow.com.
Go read that. The second story we're dealing with that's right at the top this morning, headline, Senate Democrats launch campaign to scrap religious freedom clause.
Here we go.
All right. So this, what we're talking about here is the annual defense policy bill, all right? Obviously hasn't been passed yet. The House Republicans had put a proviso in there, a clause, that companies that want to do business with the Defense Department, do contract business for the Defense Department, should not have to abide by non-discrimination policies that the Obama administration is famous for. And so the Democrats are saying, no, we believe any company doing business with the Pentagon, if it's a company run by Christians according to their Christian beliefs, if they are opposed to homosexuality, they're opposed to homosexual marriage, we do not believe that they should have the right to do business with the federal government. So that's a fight that's going on right now. It's not obviously now, right now, members of Congress are out campaigning. But when they come back, it's likely going to be dealt with. So the Democrats, they feel any company dealing with the Pentagon, wants contracts with the Pentagon, they should live according to the Obama administration's definition of non-discrimination policies, which is be pro-homosexual. For instance, this company, a Christian company, when they're hiring somebody, could not say you have to have beliefs consistent with our beliefs as a Christian company. They wouldn't be allowed to do that. If they had an employee who said, all of a sudden I'm a homosexual and I want to get married to my homosexual partner, they could not say you're fired. Mm-hmm. So this is basically the Obama administration's definition of non-discrimination policy being now forced on companies who want to do business. Or people would say the option is, okay, you don't get to do business with the Pentagon just because of your Christian beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republican senators?
Republican House wants some protection put in for Christian companies. Mm-hmm. So far, Republican senators haven't said anything about this.
And this, not my understanding of this, correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, but my understanding is we're not talking about a construction company owned by a Christian.
Mm.
We're talking about, as this article says from, I think this is Associated Press, faith-based organizations. So you have a faith-based organization. That's different than just a plumbing company that's owned by a Christian that is generally covered by these non-discrimination laws anyway. We're talking about faith-based organizations.
Let's like a Hobby Lobby.
Okay.
Who runs according to Christian principles.
Which the Supreme Court has already said they have the right to not... be forced to provide abortifacients through their health insurance.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. The Supreme Court already ruled on that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
A Hobby Lobby, I can't imagine a Hobby Lobby wanting a contract with the Defense Department, but if a company like that has had contracts, according to this law, this add-in to the Defense Appropriations Bill, they would be forced out of doing business with the federal government because they would not release their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. What do you think about this, Abe?
I think it's disgusting.
What else, though?
and it's interesting that the letter that was presented, of course, John McCain and another Republican, Mac Thornberry from Texas, signed on with two independents and a bunch of other Democrats to try to get the thing stripped away, to strip the protections from the faith-based organizations that would want to contract with the Defense Department. I see this as just one of the earliest iterations of what, to be very candid, what I think you could expect from a Hillary Clinton administration, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can
war on religion.
Yeah,
well, I think war on Christianity.
Yeah, I think it's on. I think it's on. I think this is one of the first iterations of the formalized attack on Christianity in America.
I fully expect that if Hillary Clinton is elected and she continues the process which President Barack Obama has begun in his 7.5 years of being in office, which is to appoint 70% of all federal judges throughout the entire federal judiciary, she will finish that job.
Yes.
So where secular progressives control the federal judiciary from top to bottom, then they will start in with laws. These kinds of federal contract issues will probably be very quickly run through law, but then they're going to turn their attention to Christian colleges. If you don't allow homosexual students, if you don't hire homosexuals on staff and your faculty, you will lose access to federal dollars for funding the education, your Pell grants, and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
I fully expect all that to. I expect that all to start within the first 6 months of a Hillary Clinton administration.
Yeah,
I think it could get worse, but but yeah, you're right, Ed. I think that's gonna. Those kinds of things are going to happen. Now, you've got a lot of Christian colleges, if I say a lot, I can think of some, that are trying to be independent, where they don't take any federal tax dollars or scholarships or anything, like Hillsdale and some others, Hillsdale College, so that they don't get entangled in this kind of thing.
Well, they'll have to do that.
But here's the problem.
It shouldn't be that way.
The problem is with the students. It's the Pell Grants. You know, traditionally, and I know this is, I can't make a wide sweep here, but a lot of Christian colleges are expensive. Their tuition.
Like all private schools.
They're private schools.
It's fairly high.
They're double or triple what a state school is.
And to your point, Fred, I won't say their names, but I talked to a college president who says that us and our board of trustees and our alumni organization, we've already had meetings and have calculated how much our budget would have to shift.
Yeah.
Because we will begin to refuse Pell Grants.
Yeah. Well, so most Christian colleges do accept Pell Grants.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, because, okay.
Well, and the kids wouldn't get the money.
Yeah, they wouldn't get it.
The kids wouldn't
depending
get
on
the
school that they would go to.
They wouldn't even get college loans either.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, the Pell Grants Pell Grant is the gift, right?
Yeah, Pell Grant is the grant. So it's not a loan. It's just the money granted based on certain financial circumstances or whatever that the government would provide.
But then a lot of kids borrow money secured by the federal government.
Exactly.
And they would not even be able to borrow money if they went to a Christian college that didn't knuckle under. And man, people have been hearing us say this for the last 10, 15 years.
You're alarmist,
you're fearmongers.
Yeah.
And you can't underestimate the encroachment the federal government made into the securing federal student loans as a result of the TARP bailout in 2008, 2009.
Right. Exactly.
A huge portion of student loan funding now is guaranteed by the federal government.
Right.
Yeah.
The potential for that going away.
Of course, part of the platform of the Democrats, thanks to Bernie Sanders, and Hillary Clinton has repeated it, basically
free
education. As long as you're going to a school that agrees with us in our non-discrimination policy.
Yeah, that's going to be insanity. That is going to cause college prices to skyrocket. Even more than they have. Because once a college or a university says, the federal government is going to make it possible for every student to come here free, we're going on a spending binge.
Yep.
And I did a commentary on that, how the cost of college prices have continually risen while all other areas have suffered financial downturn.
Yeah.
And it's because of the connection between easy access to federal government loans.
Right.
The colleges have no reason not to hike those prices.
Right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Abe Hamilton, News Director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Fred Jackson in studio with us, too. Walker Wildman is not here today. He's out of the office, so nobody's updating our
He said he's going to update our
Facebook page remotely. So Walker will be doing that. So we had a lot of positive response to our new we adjusted our format here for this show, and also we've decided that we have a Facebook page. We might as well keep it active.
Right.
And
People are dying to see us, Tim. They're dying to see pictures of us, you know, on – You know,
are there pictures of us on there? There's one or two.
Well,
I think, and
I'm,
I don't
actually,
think people
now that
are
you mention it, I'm hoping they're not.
But anyway,
until I can lose 30 pounds, then, you know, then take pictures.
But, you know, what you guys were talking about with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders was offering this too. Of course, Bernie Sanders was offering part of his campaign was free college for everybody. Never really had to explain it too much on how you'd pay for that, because he never was really expected to win
the
Democrat nomination. But now Hillary Clinton has taken up the free college. Now, she has a caveat in there. I don't know what it is exactly. Do you guys know what it is, or too hard to explain?
No, but I know she had to come on board with that because she wanted to draw Bernie Sanders supporters to
her. Here's the thing that any Republican has to contend with, and I'm talking about a congressional race, a Senate race, or a presidential race, any Republican has to contend with this against his Democrat or her Democrat opponent. You can't out-free stuff Democrats.
Right.
Okay? You just can't out-free stuff Democrats. And so Republicans, a lot of them feel the need to try. You know, Hillary Clinton, for example, says free college for everybody. The Republicans say, well, wait a minute, somebody's got to pay for this. We can't do free college for everybody. Well, the voter goes, sign me up for free college. I'm voting for the Democrat because these Republicans don't want me to get an education.
That's the other side. The Democrats will say, see, those Republicans don't want you going to college.
Right. Just because of your economic situation, these people don't want you to have an education. This is the kind of hateful stuff we have to stop against poor people in America. Who's joining the Democrat Party so we can end this bigotry? See how they do this?
Yeah. There's no you can't. How do you win on a field like that?
Here's the problem. They don't look around the corner. People aren't looking around the corner because these very same people who want to take that government money for tuition or whatever the case may be, they don't understand. Still, when they come out of school, they may not have a tuition bill, but they're going to pay for it through their taxes.
Right.
That job, all of a sudden, it's going to go up 10. We talked yesterday about this, one of the resolutions in Colorado is Colorado Care. You weren't here yesterday, Tim. Colorado Care is on the ballot in Colorado. It's basically Obamacare, the state run. It's going to add $25 billion to the expense bill out there in Colorado. How are they going to pay for it? A 10% increase in your income taxes.
Right.
Somebody always ends up paying for this.
You're talking about the state of Colorado is going to impose a 10% increase on
income
taxes?
If this resolution is passed in Colorado, one of the ways they're going to pay for it is a 10% increase on income taxes.
They sell a whole lot of pot.
Well,
pay for this.
Exactly. Huh? Well, and then they say, and other fees on top of that to pay for this.
I guarantee it'll be a certain percent, you know, whatever, 25 cents on your on gallon of gas. They'll tax everything they can.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it doubles almost doubles their budget.
Yeah.
Their state budget's 27.
People start moving out. Yeah. And then
the people in Colorado already left California.
Mm-hmm.
Now they keep moving east until they hit Texas, I guess.
We're going to Kansas.
I know. You talked to Brian Fisher. Brian moved from Idaho to Mississippi to join our team here. But he said that's what Idaho – I don't know what you would call people from out of Idahoans. I'm not sure exactly. But he said a lot of California people started moving to to Idaho and other Western states too to get out of the heavy taxation burden of California. But he said they bring California values with them.
Yeah.
Well, I've told you that's what happened in New Hampshire where I grew up. And New Hampshire was a rock solid conservative state.
Right, I remember that.
But no, no income tax, mm-hmm. and people moved to New Hampshire from Taxachusetts. That's what we called. No, wasn't even a Christian. That's what we called Massachusetts. And now New Hampshire is essentially at the very best. It's a purple state. Yeah. Right. All these people move. All the nutcases moved.
They moved to escape the expense of liberalism.
But they
bring liberalism with them.
That's right.
Right. It's just amazing.
Well, so, could it be said liberal migration is a hidden tax?
That's a great line for a novel or a country song.
Go ahead, write
something
that.
Right there.
Liberal migration.
Have that done by the end of the month.
A hidden tax.
Wow, you're listening to today's issues. Now, what we're talking about right there, do we have something up at onenewsnow.com on that yet?
Freedom of religion right there. That's how we started
the fresh story that we just talked about is at onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. Anyway, you know, this one thing that hasn't been talked about, maybe we can talk about it next half hour, but I know it bores everybody, so, but I still think about it, and that is the national debt. All right, don't turn your radio off, people. Please, please, I beg you. Well, we won't stay on this long, okay? But you know what? Now, Donald Trump's mentioned it a few times. Hillary Clinton, not at all, that I've heard. We're at $20 trillion, right at $20 trillion of debt that our country owes that is supposed to be paid back.
That's the funny thing.
Hold on a second.
I have to laugh to keep from crying on this topic. I'm sorry.
Supposed to be paid back. We're never going to pay it back, of course, $20 trillion. But you know what? If we don't stop this, the deficit, which is spending more annually than we take in taxes, mm-hmm. To the tune of $300 or $400 billion annually, I think you got a recipe for economic disaster looming on the horizon sometime. Because what if the interest rates go up that service that debt that we have? You talk about, I think that's why the Federal Reserve, more than anything else, is keeping the interest rates down. My opinion.
And they're probably terrified to raise them because that increases the interest payments that the federal government has to make. And
well, we're permanently stuck then. Right. We're permanently stuck. I know somebody yesterday who was talking to a loan officer about getting a loan for a house. And they said, "You think the rate's going to go up in the next 6 months?" And you know, a couple points, and they laughed. Like that's never we've been under what, under 4, 3, something like that. What is that? I don't even know anymore.
Oh, I don't know about the Fed rate. I'm not.
But I'm talking
I'm
about
sure
the interest
rate.
Yeah. Rate. About three, but I'm just four. Saying that the new normal. Yeah, that's good for people who want to buy a home, or you know, get a loan. But for people trying to. On retirement, trying to make, you know, a little interest on their money, they get nothing. And that, as I said, that's the new normal now.
Makes that mattress look even better and better, doesn't it? As
it
a
does,
place to store your money.
Yeah, I mean, we've been several years now in this, 2% growth?
The whole of Obama's administration.
Yeah, it hasn't been more than that annually for his entire administration. For the first time in the history of America,
if you have inflation kick in, in this stagnated situation,
it's back to the early 70s. But stagflation.
Yeah. Donald Trump has tried to warn some about this. You know, you as a politician, you walk a fine line between people don't want to hear bad news.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Do I go out and tell them more potential bad news because they're going to turn me off, or do I talk about better things that maybe I'm going to do for the country? Anyway, Dan Sue, you'd probably be embarrassed about our conversation the last couple of minutes of economics, like we know what we're talking
Guys,
about.
You stick to the World Series.
Right. Fred, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com. Ed, Abe, and yours truly, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, the elections are still top of mind, but no one's an expert, not even American Family Newsman Steve Jordahl.
If I had a handle on what was going on and I could accurately predict it, I think I would probably be the darling of every news talk in the next election cycle because I'd be the only one.
We'll also discuss headlines beyond election stories, and we'll help you understand things from a Christian worldview. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. The state of Georgia is demanding a Seventh-day Adventist pastor turn over his sermons.
This is probably the most invasive reach into the pulpit by the state that I have ever seen.
Jeremy Dice is with First Liberty Institute. They represent Dr. Eric Walsh, a bivocational preacher. He was fired by the Georgia Department of Public Health just a few days after he was hired. Dr. Walsh is now suing the state, alleging religious discrimination. You can read the exclusive story at toddstarnes.com. It's unclear why the state wants the pastor's sermons, but staffers had been alarmed by sermons he delivered declaring homosexuality a sin.
If he refuses the court's order, then Dr. Walsh could face contempt of court. I don't think anybody wants that. And no one in America should want a pastor being held in contempt for refusing to give up one of his sermons to the state of Georgia.
Such an act would be contemptible. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Whoa, my goodness. Did I yell into the microphone?
You did. You yelled. But it was enthusiasm. We like enthusiasm.
Did that come across
too,
as me yelling at
people? I wasn't even listening, Tim. I'm sorry.
You and I are supposed to be co-hosting this show. You don't even listen to what I say.
I did. It was a little loud. It was okay. A little overly enthusiastic.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Today's Issues on American
Family Now it sounds like NPR.
Yes, next up on NPR, recipes.
All things considered.
Recipes by Ed. Ed, give us your Italian.
It's basically anything with spaghetti sauce.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. Now back
I prefer
to,
the loud.
Now back to
boisterous.
Cool. Now back to cool jazz with Herb Albert.
All right, Herb Albert.
Do you remember Herb Albert? Hey, he was a great musician.
My parents had an album. You listen to Herb Albert all the time. Yeah. The Tijuana Brass.
Yeah.
I know nothing of what you speak.
Oh, you young people, come on.
What is this?
What do you have? Are you 35, 40?
You, really,
yeah,
you never heard of Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass?
I heard of Fat Albert.
You are not supposed to say that anymore.
I've heard
that is not PC.
Obese Albert.
Morbidly obese Albert.
I've heard of horizontally challenged Albert.
What? That was Bill Cosby was responsible for that, right?
Yeah.
Herb Albert.
Hey, hey,
Fat Albert. Hey, hey. No, it was more like, hey, hey, hey.
I used to be like, I can't do it anymore. My voice won't.
I'm going to sing a song for you. How much do you want me to go with this? Because I got a stanza or two I can... that was Saturday morning.
I prefer Herb Albert and the Tijuana
okay.
Brass.
I can dig it.
Dig it, 70s. So you're retro and back to something you don't even
remember.
You remember
dig hey. It, but you don't know. You never heard of Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass.
I know nothing of what you said.
You're listening to Music Critique here on American Family Radio. Hey, appreciate Fred joining us last half hour. And go to onenewsnow.com and check out our latest news. It's a great website to keep up with the news, onenewsnow.com. Yes.
Tim, I was just going to mention for our listeners, during the break, the little Todd Starnes segment that we had.
Yeah.
He was talking about, he's breaking a story on Dr. Walsh in Georgia. This is a pastor who the state required him to turn over his sermons. I was just going to mention for our listeners, Todd Starnes will be on this show tomorrow at 10:35 talking some more about that very, very frightening development there in Georgia where the state is requiring a pastor to turn in his sermons. This actually did happen, or he would lose his job, which I think he did.
Let me just say this, and we'll move on and talk to Ron about this. Folks, this election coming up, I'm sorry for all the garbage we've all had to listen to, and we've all wanted to take a shower after some of the things we've heard. I understand that. But I am telling you the differences between these two candidates on the kind of federal judges they're going to appoint is going to could potentially be catastrophic for the Christian community in America today. And I'm just telling you, the hostility that exists among the secular progressives against Christians is going to be amped up tenfold, okay, if we continue to allow these very liberal candidates or presidents to appoint federal judges. They're going to rule our country. They're going to not just religious liberty, they're going to rule our country because they think that's their not God appointed because they don't believe in God. They believe this is the reason they exist on earth. And they're going to be ruling on all kind of things to favor socialism, progressivism, anti-religious, anti-Christian sentiment. Abe, do you think I'm...
Well, who's it? Mark Tushnet?
Am I way off base here? Let you answer that question, but let me just say, folks, please think about this election in those terms, and not in he talked dirty 11 years ago or something like that. You know what I'm saying? This is a serious moment in our country's history. Which direction we'll take? And go ahead.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think that you're overstating it. Ed, you alluded to Mark Tushnet, the Harvard professor, who says, "Listen, the culture wars have been fought. And we, the progressives have won. So we need to treat those Christians now, being post-culture war era in America, we need to treat them the way that the Nazis were treated post-Civil War. Post-World War II. Mark Tushnet, the Harvard professor.
He was a law professor?
He was on the record.
He's on the record. It wasn't limited to being a law professor. He taught several different disciplines.
Right.
But he is... verbalizing.
These are God haters, people. These are God haters. They're Constitution haters, and they can't stand us. They cannot stand Bible believing Christians. We're in their way, okay? Mm-hmm. And they want to do anything they can to punish us. And I'm just telling you that's coming.
Yeah, and your point to how the courts have been already stacked under President Obama's administration, they're about 90 plus. Vacancies on federal courts between district court, appellate courts, and on the Supreme Court right now. And should Hillary Clinton win, she will be able to add an additional 90-plus federal judges to those who already are seated.
And let me just say, the secular progressive movement in this country, represented by the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton, for example, I'm not saying anything slanderous here, people. They're proud of this. They're proud of the things we've just mentioned as them wanting to impose. Go ahead.
I mean, to your point, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, a video circulating. Hillary Clinton made an appearance in New Jersey either yesterday or the day before, and the person introducing her was reading from the Pledge of Allegiance and could not say the words "under God." I mean, it was amazing.
I think it was from a few months ago.
Oh, that was a few months ago.
But
okay,
still, the fact remains that
what about the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights?
Yes.
They just released a report in the last month in which they basically said that Christianity is a threat to civil rights.
Yeah. They said it's code for discrimination, and it's code for subjugation of those who have who don't agree with the Christian worldview. So wherever civil rights, which is really code for the sexual deviancy agenda, is pitted against free exercise of religion, religion must lose in the pursuit of the civil rights being
even though religion is the only freedom of religion is the only one mentioned in
the Constitution. Right. That's right.
Ron Ball is going to straighten all this out for us here. Ron has been on with us before.
It's a good thing I'm here, right?
Yeah. Ron's a good friend of ours. So with Ron Ball Evangelistic Association out of Kentucky.
Yes.
And Ron's visiting with us in Tupelo today. And Ron is one of us. He loves the Lord, loves our country, and is doing everything he can to stand for righteousness and truth. And you've been hearing what we're talking about here, Ron. You travel the country. You travel the world, in fact. You think we're overstating the situation?
Well, when I'm in Europe, Christians in that part of the world are very worried, and they're scared that America will drop the ball. Mm. They don't want us to lose this cultural war, because Christians in other countries look to the United States as a beacon of hope and freedom and liberty and conservative principles and biblical principles. So they're praying with all their heart for this election. They may be praying more than we are, because we are the last best hope of earth on this.
Isn't what we've described here as sort of a secular utopia, if you will? Can secularists have utopia? Because they don't really... Kind of a fatalistic view. So can you?
Well, they proclaim a utopia, but like Animal Farm, George Orwell's Animal Farm, human nature always has its revenge, and human nature cannot be changed by education. It cannot be changed by economic outreaches. Can only be changed by the gospel. So human nature always comes to the surface, and those proclaiming a utopia always wind up being the same old totalitarians in a different form.
So they want us to we don't want to end up looking like Europe. From a now, I'm not talking about historical Europe or the natural beauty of Europe or anything like that. I'm talking about what Europe has become today is a secular humanist culture, right? It's a couple of decades or so down the road from us in terms
of... Well, our version of secular progressivism came from Europe.
Mm-hmm. And they want to impose that on us now.
And for over 100 years, they've been working diligently to change us into that kind of culture and political outlook.
Well, if I can add something to that, gentlemen, Hillary Clinton has made it very clear that she supports a one-world government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obama has weakened American sovereignty all over the world. This is very serious. And, Tim, I really appreciate what you said a moment ago about the fact that we cannot be caught up in arguments over lewd language or personalities. We have to remember that our votes are critically urgently necessary right now to move this country in a positive Christian conservative direction. I had a person recently come to me and say that they could not, as a Christian, vote for Donald Trump. And I said to this individual, person I have a good relationship with, I said to them, well, in my opinion, the alternative is unthinkable. And she looked at me and she said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're deciding who to vote for and you're a conservative, committed, Bible-believing Christian, I said, I have two words for you, Supreme Court. And she looked at me and she said, my goodness, you're right. And she immediately went out and got a Trump sticker. Now, I'm not here to trumpet Trump.
Right.
I mean, obviously, he is a flawed human being. But the alternative, I say again, is unthinkable.
And as we've said here before, we're not telling you anything that you can't find on the platforms of the parties. We're not revealing secrets
right
here. Okay, the secular progressives, which have taken over the Democrat Party in this country, They're pro-abortion through 9 months. They are pro-LGBT, even if it means punishing the Christians. They are pro-huge government. Hillary Clinton said recently, you know, in the speech that she didn't want to release to the public, it was revealed that she said she's for open borders.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tried to explain that away by talking about, was that Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
That was the most bizarre.
The public policy and the private policy.
Yeah.
Her comment.
Oh, the public policy, private policy. She invoked Abraham Lincoln's name.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the most. Anyway, when asked about the open borders by Chris Wallace, she was told she came up with something that
she said she was talking about the energy grid.
Yeah.
As if that's not.
Oh, come on! Ridiculous. Come on! I read that line in that speech. She didn't talk nothing about that.
Yeah.
Open borders having to do with it. She was talking about no borders because that's what the globalists want.
Yes.
They won't know borders.
Because nationalism is a threat to the globalist agenda. Anytime French people think of themselves as French first, or Americans think of themselves as Americans first, Canadians, what have you, they are going to be less likely to submit to a one-world government.
Mm-hmm.
But when you no longer have that kind of identity or that kind of allegiance to your own national culture— then you are more subject to saying, well, there's no such thing as French or Canadian. We're all just part of one culture. We might as well have one government.
But that's what she was saying in that speech she gave to the Wall Street group, the Hillary Clinton I'm talking about, no borders, open borders, and she was open trade. Or what I interpreted some of that to mean was open sort of economic I don't understand
she
all that.
She wants a European Union style— For this hemisphere.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. You were listening to Abe Hamilton in studio with me today. Our guest, Ron Ball. Ron's from Kentucky. Ron, what's your website and what's there?
Thank you, Tim. It's called choosegreatness.com. And the reason we call it choosegreatness.com is because we want to communicate to everybody that if people want a great life in this country, if they want a great experience, great family, great marriage, great finances, if they want a great life, there's a reason you have a great life. You have a great life because you follow certain biblical principles. America became great because it followed biblical principles. So on choosegreatness.com, we explain that to everybody, particularly people under 35. We want them to realize that if they want greatness, the socialistic liberal model will not produce what they want. They have to go the conservative route.
Let me say one final thing about voting, and then we can move on to we got a great story we want you to share that you share with our staff this morning. But you know what, folks? You really have to think about voting in these terms. You have to think about what if you were the last one to vote and it was tied? Okay? It's easy to say, well, I'm not voting for this candidate or that candidate. I'm not voting for either one of them because of lack of character, which I understand that. We're all for character. I wish we weren't in the situation that we're in,
right?
But we are. And you have to ask yourself, what if I had to make the decision to break the tie? And you had to say, well, okay, either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to be president for the next 4 years. It's all tied up, and it's up to me to make the call. Don't give me you're going to write in a candidate. If you write in a candidate, then somebody else makes a decision on who's going to be the next president is for the next 4 years. Don't tell me you're going to vote third party out of conviction because you're not deciding. I'm telling you, listen to me. I mean, you have to decide. You have to decide. It all comes down to your vote, who's going to be the president for the next 4 years. And you have to think of it in that way. It's easy to say, well, I live in a red state or I live in a blue state. My vote's not going to matter anyway, so I'm not going to vote, you know, and keep my conscience pure,
right. You
know. Well, your conscience may be pure, but guess what? One of these candidates is still going to decide who sits on the Supreme Court, who controls the, who sits on the federal bench, and all sorts of other things that are going to impact our lives for decades to come. So it's just not that easy to say, I'm just not going to vote. And another thing you need to think about is if you say, I'm not going to vote, then you have to be good with saying this, I want somebody else to decide. Okay. What you're saying by saying, I'm not going to vote, is you're saying, I'm perfectly happy with everybody else making the choice on who the president will be. I don't want to have any input in that. Okay. So I want people to think in our frustration sometimes of, I'm not going to vote, I'm sick of this sleaze, which who isn't, who among us isn't tired of hearing about the trashy stuff. I wish we weren't there again, but I didn't vote to put us in this position, by the way. And a lot of people didn't, but we are. The majority of Americans picked Hillary Clinton and they picked Donald Trump. And so here we are, one or the other will be the president. Okay, point two of my sermon will be you need to take notes. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, on a more positive note, you got
we wanted Ron to share. Now, we know that, Ron, that this is a story that was an hour long in Europe, and it was 20 minutes long in devotions. We want you to try to make it in 9 minutes, shrink it down. So tell us this great story about Frank Capra, and some of our listeners know who that was.
Well, of course, the famous
movie. You gave it away.
Yeah, I think so. That's the big punchline, but no problem, man. You just wanted to say an Italian name. That's what it was.
So. Francesco.
All right, pretend you didn't hear what said.
Young Francesco. In 1903, came over with his parents. He was 5 years old, came to the United States, came to California. And he worked in the migrant fields with his dad. He picked fruit. But he had a lot of ambition. So when he was a teenager, he decided to go to Caltech. And he got in the chemistry program. He paid his way through doing laundry in the campus laundry waiting tables and playing the banjo at campus events. Well, he graduated Caltech with a chemistry degree. And because he had a chemistry degree, the young fledgling movie industry really noticed him because everything was chemically oriented, the film, the stock, how they processed it. And so he was able to get into the film industry. He made a documentary when he was 24, got the attention of Columbia Studios who hired him. Now, of course, now we all know he's the famous director,
yes,
Frank Capra.
Thank you again, Ron.
good job, Ed. But anyway, what happened next is really fascinating, and I'll give you the very short version of this. In 1934, he did a movie called It Happened One Night, Clark Gable, Carol Lombard, won an Academy Award, won all five of the big ones, Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director. 4 years later, in 1938, he won three more Academy Awards and won Best Director again. So he was the dominant director of his day. In 1939, he wanted to make a movie that was his love letter to America. And so he put together a film called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. James Stewart, great film. It competed with The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, 1939, maybe the greatest year in the history of movies. Well, that movie had an unexpected impact in Europe. It became the most popular film in France. For 2 years, that film dominated French culture. Everybody went to see it. When the Nazis took over in 1942, they issued an edict to stop that movie. Here was the mighty Nazi juggernaut, and they went to war against a movie. They said they hated the movie because it depicted America in such a positive light. Well, the movie went underground, and the underground guerrilla forces of the French Resistance used that movie. They showed it night after night after night to remind people what they were fighting for. And I think the remarkable thing for your listeners to remember is that people around the world are looking for that torch, flame, that fire of freedom represented by that movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It was a movie about the individual, about freedom. It was against big government. It was a movie that really elevated American values and principles. It was a very God-honoring movie. And the Nazis hated it because they wanted big government to smother everybody else. And, of course, the reason that matters today is because we're on the edge, the very brink in the United States, of gigantic big government taking control. And when that happens, freedom will fly out the window. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable. If you have big government, freedom has to lose. And so I believe what Ronald Reagan said, the government that governs best governs least. And so people don't realize, in my opinion, what's happening. They're seeing personalities and celebrity figures and sleaze and Tim.
We've been dumbed down.
Yeah,
we've been dumbed down as a culture.
They're so occupied with that, they don't realize the ultimate results that are going to occur. So back to Choose Greatness. Again, my choosegreatness.com site, the reason I do that is because I want to remind everyone why we became great. And the only way to stay great and be great in the future is to do the same great things. So basically, that movie is a reminder that there are some things that the other side hates. And they hate it because they can't control you. They can't control your freedom and your liberty. So you're right. If Hillary Clinton's elected, and I'm not here to just make a political speech. That's not why I'm here, nor why you're here. But if she is elected, she's very clear on her agenda. She's clear. I mean, she's for abortion. She's against guns. She's against personal freedoms and opportunity. I'm from Kentucky. She says she wants to put all the coal miners out of work. I know those coal miners. I know their families. They go to church. They're good people. Mm. And so here's somebody in Washington who, by the way, has made hundreds of millions of dollars selling her contacts, her access, telling coal miners they should be put out of work. Yeah. Outrages me.
Yeah, I thought Donald Trump could have used a great line in the last debate when he said to her, talking to Hillary Clinton, you know, you get paid $250,000 to give a speech. I thought he should have said, what did you give him, Rhode Island?
That would have been funny.
Huh?
That would have been funny.
250 grand for a speech. Sign me up for that job. Right there. What? Wow. You pay somebody $250,000 for a speech. You want something, and you're going to get something.
Right.
Huh? And that's been consistent with her.
Now, is that when she was sitting Secretary of State?
She made a number of speeches during that time, and she made contacts that people apparently may want.
That might have been after she left office.
Okay.
I don't know.
But she's running for president.
Right.
I'm all for...
Listen, someone's paid me quarter of a million.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell them no.
Right.
So in that respect, I'm not for her making money off speeches. That's fine. It's America. People can pay you whatever. I'm just saying, let's don't pretend like they don't want something. Have you promised people something in return for all this money that is given to these foundations and to your personal bank account, for example? I tell you what, she said they were broke when they left the White House, right?
Yeah, she did.
And in debt.
And wow, I got to give it to them.
Well, I got
now they're worth 110. They're worth 110 million bucks.
Well, Tim, if I can add one thing, and Ed, I know you're about to jump in here, but I want to add just one quick thing.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton has made a big deal about how the rich are so bad for America and they should pay their fair share.
Yes.
I talked with an economist not long ago who said that if you took all the money, and I'm giving these figures and I haven't totally checked it, but this is what he told me. If you took all the wealth of people who have net worths of over $1 million, you took everybody up to Bill Gates,
Warren Buffett, all their money.
You took all their money, all their assets, all their homes, all their jewels, all their clothing, all their cars.
Right, everything.
You took everything. It would run the federal government for 42 days. So basically, the rich are not our problem. So Hillary Clinton has become one of the rich. And one of the things the Nazis did in the research I quoted this morning, they communicated that the elites were the ones who knew better. And she's become one of the elites. We know better than you. Let us run your life.
Yeah, the globalists and the elites. Well, again, folks, everything we've talked about here is public record. And also in the platforms of the parties. So, you know, you used to feel like you were exposing people to something that you thought a politician or...
You had to be a spy.
Or a party was trying to hide from you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They used to... Democratic Party used to try to hide their connection to the promotion of socialism. And, again, they don't do that anymore. They just lay it out... It's the Bernie Sanders platform. So, I mean, we're not dragging up anything that isn't public record, just isn't talked about very much. All right, we'll be back after the break. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Abe, Ed, and yours truly will be back after the break.
The The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.